The following is a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its owners, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.
Money Talks, the show that gives you the tools to navigate a challenging economy, help you build and protect your wealth, and provide timely news and information to manage your money. Here's the host of Money Talks, Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group on 1590 WAKR.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Not coming from Buffalo, are you?
No. I would still be on the road. I'd be trapped under a pile of snow if I was coming from Buffalo. But they're talking they're going to get rain now, so it's going to all melt out. Next to be floods, perhaps? I don't know. That's just crazy. Makes you really love Akron, doesn't it?
That's one way to look at it. Yeah. Those poor people, I'll tell you.
I know. It's
first
crazy.
It's snow, and then it's going to be flooding, and who knows?
Yeah.
You know, maybe tornadoes next week.
No, don't even say it. Yeah.
Anyway, good morning, everyone. I am your host, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. This is Money Talks, and thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning, the 22nd day of November. It's Turkey Week, Thanksgiving Week coming up here as we fade out of November. And looking at fading, well, the markets certainly weren't fading this week as they had a pretty good rally this week in the markets, with the Dow ending up 91 points yesterday to close at an all-time high of 17,810. That puts the Dow up 7.4% for the year, because if you remember, just going back a little more than a month ago, that Wednesday of October the 15th, where we hit the correction territory for the indexes, and all the indexes were negative. That's right, negative for the year. And it was at the end of the week there then from now that we've gotten the gain so far for the year. The NASDAQ was up another 11. It now sits at 4,712. Well, we're getting close to that 5,000 mark that we were at back in March of 2000, if you can remember. The S&P 500... well, it closed at a new record high of 2,063 because it was up a little better than 10 points. Looking at the other markets, we see that natural gas was down 22 cents, closed at $4.27. While we look at West Texas Intermediate, well, it was up 66 cents, back up again above that $75 mark to close at $76.51. Brent crude was up $1.03, closed above $80 for the first time in a while at $80.36. Gas futures were up 2 cents to $2.05. And at the pumps, well, we saw a drop of 30 cents yesterday down to $2.41. No, I'm just kidding, but it sure sounds good, you know. We can certainly see it go up 30 cents in a day, but no, it's still close to $2.71. I still like that number. It's been better than we've seen in a long time. Gold was up $6.90, closed at $1,198.40 an ounce. Silver, it was up 25 cents, closed at $16.40. And the VIX, the volatility index measure, or the fear gauge, was down 68 cents and closed at $12.90. And in the bond market, we see the 2-year bond is now up to 0.5%, the 5-year at 1.61%, and the 10-year at 2.31%, the 30-year. Well, it's still above that 3% mark at 3.04%. On the economic front, we saw the Labor Department reported that consumer prices remained unchanged in October compared to the previous month. Stripping off the volatile food and energy, core consumer prices were up 0.2%. And according to the government, the annual rate of core consumer price growth was up 1.8%. I don't know. I just find that kind of funny. Are your groceries up 1.8% from a year ago? Not mine. They're up a whole lot more than that. We also saw that jobless claims fell to 291,000 in the week ending November the 15th from 293,000. We also saw that the results of the Philadelphia Federal Reserve's manufacturing survey showed that manufacturing activity growed substantially faster rate in November. The business conditions index jumped to 40.8 in November from 20.7 in October, reaching the highest reading since 1993. And the Commerce Department reported that housing starts fell 2.8% to 1 million units in October, while the September numbers were upwardly revised by 21,000. The decrease reflected a sharp pullback in multifamily starts. Meanwhile, building permits, an indicator of future housing activity, well, they jumped 4.8% to an annual rate of 1.08 million. And after the break here, we're going to talk about, well, we're going to talk about some reporting, some false thinking when it comes to gold and silver, and we're going to answer some questions that many people really don't know what the answers are, and we're going to clarify some things for you. So stay with us. You're listening to Money Talks here on WAKR. We'll be right back.
And we are back on.
And we do welcome you back to Money Talks here on WAKR. Gold and silver. If you're a listener of the show, you know that I've talked about them for a while. And maybe somebody new listening would say, you know, why would you want to buy gold or silver? The price just keeps falling. Well, a couple of things to first look at here. First of all, you know, if you're a businessman or you're a buyer for maybe one of the big retail stores, what are you shopping for in January? You're shopping for bathing suits. And, you know, for many people, it's 10 degrees out and you're shopping for bathing suits. Well, they're going to think you're somewhat crazy. Well, no, because you know come May, June, and July, that is going to be one of your biggest clothing sellers are bathing suits, and so you have to prepare. Well, the same thing is when you're looking at the gold and silver. When market indexes fall, what does the smart investor do? He doesn't sell when it's down 10%. They buy because you're buying it at a discount. Well, right now, when I see the prices of gold and silver, I'm absolutely elated because it gives me an opportunity to buy more at a greater reduced price than I could have 6 months ago. Because still, even though people have very short memories, we've got problems that are going to be coming around the corner down the road here. Call it 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I don't really care. I just know that this is one of the opportunities that anybody that takes advantage of it is going to be so proud of themselves a few years down the road. Now, I want to get into actually some things here that many people aren't aware of or have questions about when it comes to gold and silver. For example, sometimes people say, you know, are you allowed to own gold? Well, yes, you are. Back in 1933, President Roosevelt made it illegal for the consumer to own gold. He called in all the gold. Of course, at that time, paid you a little more than $20 an ounce for your gold. And as soon as he had it all, turned around and he made gold $35 an ounce. In essence, what he was doing, he was trying to help with the economy's problems at that point because we were in a depression. He basically devalued the dollar. That's exactly what he did when he raised the price on gold. Many experts believe that this could happen again in a few years, where the president declares a value, raising the current value of gold up to a much higher level. I'm going to throw a number out there that Mr. Rickard says he feels that maybe it could be $7,000 an ounce. As you know, we're currently around $1,200. That would devalue the dollar, which that is what's going on around the world right now, folks. If you look, the European Union is trying to devalue the dollar. The yen, the Japanese yen, yeah, they're trying to devalue the yen. Many countries around the world are trying to devalue their currency. Now, because of all the devaluation, what you're finding is that the dollar has gotten stronger. Temporarily, I might add, but it is currently gotten very strong. In fact, it's at a multi-year, seven-year high against the yen. And because the dollar has gotten strong, that is why you're seeing the price of oil back off and go lower. That's why you're seeing commodities such as gold and silver go lower. So anyway, yes, you can own gold as early as that era of not only owning gold ended December 31st, 1974, and in 1975, you were again allowed to own gold. Now, the big question is, when it comes to reporting of gold. Now, this is going to be very interesting, so pay attention, because there are some ways that gold is reported, some ways that it's not. When you buy gold, as long as you don't go walking in with more than $10,000 of cash, there is no reporting of you buying gold. As a matter of fact, you can buy $50,000 worth of gold if you want, as long as it's done by check or wire transfer or EFT or any electronic way. There's no reporting. You can buy as much as you want. There is, of course, that form that you have to fill out if you come in with more than $10,000 of gold. Well, that's with anything. If you bring that into the bank, if you go and buy a car, if you anything, because of the rules of law, you have to fill out an 8300 form. Now, when it comes to selling, here's what you have to know that is very important. What if I want to go and sell my gold or sell my silver? Is there going to be a 1099 involved? And the answer to that is very simply, it depends. For example, if you want to sell your silver, as long as you're selling American Silver Eagle coins, Canadian Maple Leaf silver coins, or the Austrian Philharmonic silver coins, it doesn't matter what quantity you sell to the coin dealer or any of these online sites, there is no 1099 generated. None. Any other silver, if you are selling silver bullion of 1,000 ounces or more, or silver rounds, or even $1,000 worth of junk silver, these are your silver quarters, half dollars, dimes, and so forth, then there is a 1099 that is generated. So understand that. Now, when it comes to gold, it's a little bit different. You can sell any amount of American Gold Eagles, American Gold Buffaloes, or any of the Austrian Philharmonic coins. There is no 1099 that's generated. But if you sell more than 25 ounces of Canadian Gold Maple Leafs, South African Krugerrands, or Mexican Gold Onzas, you're going to get a 1099. So as long as you're dealing in American Gold Eagles, American Gold Buffaloes, or Austrian Philharmonics, there is no 1099. You can turn in $500,000 worth of gold coins. There is no 1099 that is going to be produced. If you work with gold bullion bars, anything above the 32.15 ounces, there is a 1099 that is generated. So again, for the sake of privacy, for example, you want to stick with Gold Eagles, Gold Buffaloes, or Austrian Philharmonics. So it's very interesting to understand how these work. And also what was very interesting, when it comes to the 8300 form or the 1099B, a little rule that I read in my research here, if a dealer fails to file a 1099B, there's a fine of up to $50. But if they fail to file a Form 8300, that fine could be as high as $25,000. So you can see the different importance that the government puts on filing when it comes to each. And so now you know a little bit more about gold and silver. And we'll be back after the news and weather. Stay with us.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks Joke of the Week. Sandy, this week...
I can hardly wait.
No blondes.
Oh, no.
No brunettes. No redheads.
Oh.
Yeah. Hillbillies.
You know, they are the last group that is not protected by the politically correct. You know?
Is that right?
So, you know, think about it. Fields wide open. Yeah.
A hillbilly family took a vacation to New York City. One day... the father took his son into a large building. They were amazed by everything they saw, especially the elevator at the end of the lobby. The boy asked, "What's this, Pa?" The father responded, "Son, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know what it is." So while the boy and his father were watching in wide-eyed astonishment an old lady in a wheelchair rolled up to the moving walls and pressed a button. The walls opened and the lady rolled between them into a small room. The walls closed and the boy and his father watched small circles of light above the walls light up. They continued to watch the circles light up in the reverse direction, and then the walls opened again and a voluptuous 24-year-old woman stepped out. Amazed, the father turned to his son and said, "Son, hurry and go get your ma." I think he's going to put her in the elevator and watch a miracle happen.
Yes.
Anyway.
I can always count on you for those funny, funny jokes.
I don't know. Anyway, I have a Business Insider report about 42 things that you can do right away to spend less money. Now, these are actually a culmination of ideas from various different people put together into the report here. And I wanted to go through because, you know, some of them are common sense. Some of them are neat, original ideas. But it's always nice to go through because bottom line is, we all like to save money and have more to do other things with. How about planning? Plan out and cook your own meals, because as we know, dining out often is a huge money drain. Another suggestion is to clean out your fridge and pantry, because you're going to find food that you didn't know you had. How many times you go in and you're looking through the soup drawer and all of a sudden, hey, I didn't know I had that. Buy in bulk the things that you would normally buy. You'll get a lot more for your buck. Opt for non-canned goods. Now, according to this, fresh produce and dried beans are typically cheaper and healthier than canned items. Use coupons. Oh, how many times have we been told that? It's easy to forget coupons you've cut out at home, so try using an app instead. With our cell phones, there's a lot of different apps that you can use. Try the grocery store brand. If you like the taste, stick with it. You'll usually save money. Stop buying microwave dinners. The markups are crazy. You could make better, healthier meals for less. Don't buy more groceries than you actually need or can keep, because throwing away food is the same as throwing away money. Use a slow cooker. Throw in some veggies, beans, and meat, and you'll have lunches and dinners for the whole week. Make your own coffee. Those $2 to $4 coffees can add up. Bring your own lunch to work. You'll cut your lunch tab in half or more by making it yourself. And stop buying bottled water, it says. Use a glass or refill a bottle with tap water for free. Don't go out to drink. Drinks with dinner can add $10 or more per person, and a night at the bar can easily cost $40. Avoid your favorite stores. Don't stop into them real fast. Don't visit their websites and unsubscribe from their emails. You're less likely to buy something if you never see it in the first place. We've talked about this one on the show many times. Track your expenses for a month. They recommend using a tool like Mint.com or simply keeping a running log. With help, you'll see how much your income is spent frivolously. That is one of the biggest surprises, I think, for most people, is when you do actually write down every single penny you spend in a month. You'll be amazed at how you're nickel and diming yourself to death. Set goals. If you have a plan to stock money away in an emergency fund, for example, you'll think twice about spending on things you don't need. Buy quality items. If you skimp on the important things, you may spend more in the long run. For instance, spending $30 on shoes every 6 months costs more than spending $60 on a pair that lasts years. Think of your spending in hours instead of dollars. If you make $10 an hour, then a $2 cup of coffee is 12 minutes of your life. You may decide it's not worth it. Compare prices online. If there's something you really want to buy and it's pretty pricey, see if you can find a barely used or a much cheaper one on a website. Before you buy something, ask yourself, what impact is this purchase going to have on my life? Well, that can put an end to some of your impulse spending. Change how often you spend on indulgences. Rather than give them up entirely, limit the frequency. For example, if you go to Starbucks daily, try going weekly. And if you go to the movies weekly, try once a month. put half your paycheck into savings. It forces you how to figure out how to live on less. That's an interesting one. And always pay off your credit card at the end of the month. You avoid paying interest and get in the habit of living within your means. Set up auto transfers on your bill so that you're never late. Get checking account alerts on your phone or opt out of overdraft protection. Otherwise, you'll pay steep fees for overdrafting on your account. Before you buy something on sale, ask yourself, would I buy this without the discount? If you're just buying something because it's on sale, you probably really don't need it. Spend your money where you spend your time and cut the rest. If you're a runner, you need good shoes. And if you spend a lot of time in your car, you should invest there. This kind of thinking helps you trim the superficial stuff that does not add value to your life. Hey, wait 2 days before you buy anything over $50. You may no longer want it or forget that you need it altogether. Trade your cable in for Netflix. I've heard a lot of people doing this. You'll have access to more TV shows and movies than you can watch, and it's just $7.99 a month. Ask your internet provider if they have any promotional rates. You could see your rate drop by as much as $20 a month. Buy discounted gift cards, such as Card Cash and Raise.com. Sell gift cards for less than they're actually worth. Even if you can't get through the day without your Starbucks latte, you could buy a $100 Starbucks card for only $89 and save 11%. Cancel magazine and newspaper subscriptions that you don't read. Many people will let them stack up instead of picking up the phone to cancel. Compare rates to local electric companies, and you may no longer be getting the best deal that's available, so check. Wear a sweater in the house and turn down the heat a couple of degrees. Over time, you'll save on electricity. Use a surge protector and turn it off when you leave a room. If you're not in there, why keep everything on? This will help reduce your electricity bill even further. Rethink your cell phone plan. Are you paying for more than you use? Switching maybe to a company like Straight Talk or one of the others could help drop your bill significantly. Get car insurance auto quotes, because this could save you a lot of money by getting a quote on your auto insurance. And look to refinancing your car or home. You could be paying too much in interest rates. Frequent the library. Get your books and movies and music for free. Buy your clothes from a thrift store. Chances are no one will be able to tell the difference. Ride your bike to work. Not only will you save car or money on public transportation costs, but you'll be healthier. And pay attention when you're buying things. You could get a better deal on something depending on the day of the week or the month that you buy it. So there's some good ideas on how we can save money right away. Some are good. Some are better. And with that, it's time to get on the phones for the Money Talks quiz of the week, 330-370-1590. That's 330-370-1590. We're going to take caller number 5, and we'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we are back on the air.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks quiz of the week. And Sandy, who is our contestant this week?
We have Bill from Akron on the line. Bill, you're on the air.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah. I'm ready for the easy questions this week.
Okay. Well, let me start off with the easy one then.
Okay.
As you know, last month, the Fed got out of the quantitative easing program, trying to artificially keep interest rates low. Since they have exited, what, Bill, is the current prime rate? Is that 3.25%? 3.5% or 3.75%? What is the current prime interest rate? 3.25%, 3.5% or 3.75%?
3.5%
It's actually 3.25%.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. The Fed exited the quantitative easing, but they have not raised short-term rates yet. It's the consensus pretty much at this point that they'll do it about mid-year next year. And then when they do that, of course, the prime rate will go up along with it. My next question for you, with gold coins, which one of the following will not generate a 1099, Bill? The Austrian Philharmonics, the South African Krugerrands, or the Canadian Maple Leafs? Which one will not generate a 1099 when you sell them?
You just said that too. Say them again.
The Austrian Philharmonics, the South African Krugerrand, or the Canadian Maple Leafs?
The first one.
The Austrian Philharmonic. You're absolutely correct. And lastly, since we're on the topic of gold today, I want to know how many grams are in a troy ounce, which is the measurement for gold and silver. How many grams are in a troy ounce? 25 grams, 28 grams, or 31 grams?
31.
You're absolutely correct. Our normal weight that we use with pounds and ounces, there's 28 grams in an ounce, but in a troy ounce, there's 31 grams. Very good, Bill. Got
Rick, would you say that first question over again?
The first question?
Yeah. I'd like to have all three right.
Oh, right. Well, that's one way to try and get it, huh?
Yeah.
No, you did very well today. Got 2 out of 3. Just missed that first one just by the hair and our shinny chin chin. Mm. But we're going to send you out your breakfast to Bob Evans. And I appreciate you being our contestant this weekend. I hope you guys have a nice one.
Thanks, Rick, and happy Thanksgiving.
The same to both of you, too. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Rick.
All righty.
Bye.
Well, how'd
Bye.
You do?
Well, you know, I got that one with the Austrian Philharmonic because that caught my ear because I like music, but the rest of them, not so much.
Not so much,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. So, well, Bill can feel good. See, he got better than I would have got. So I would only get the one
Did
right.
a very good job. Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is, it was somewhat the way I constructed the question. It was somewhat tricky because... The Feds were artificially keeping interest rates low. They're no longer doing that. But when it comes to the prime rate, that's a direct reflection of the Fed funds rate, which they won't move probably until mid-next year. So nothing has changed on the short-term rates. But anyway.
Yeah, this is why you keep track of this stuff, and we're all like, what? We need to ask you questions.
Well, speaking of questions, I wanted to give the answers to last week's questions that I asked on the air. I appreciate everyone who sent in their answers. And here are the answers to the questions from last week. Question number one, during the market decline of 2000 to 2002, what investment class actually was positive during that time period? Was it large cap growth, mid cap blends, or small cap values? Well, the answer was small cap values actually had a positive return. The second question, you have a savings account at the bank with your four children listed as PODs. How much FDIC insurance do you have on the account? Well, a single bank account, any account, will have a $250,000 limit on it. But when you put four children on as PODs, which is payable on death, you actually get $250,000 per person, so you would have $1 million of FDIC insurance on that account. What measurement do you look for on a mutual fund regarding the manager? The choices were beta, alpha, or delta. Alpha is a measure of the work of the mutual fund manager on how good he has done compared to the indexes themselves as a measurement. So alpha was the answer I was looking for. 2 in 20 is a phrase used in what industry? Choices were the mutual fund industry, the bond market, or hedge funds. It is the hedge fund industry. What they do is they charge a 2% fee, and they also get 20% of the profits that they generate. That's where you get the 2 and 20. And lastly, which of the following has a mandated fiduciary responsibility to their clients, meaning they have to put their clients first and foremost? Is it an insurance agent, a broker, or a registered investment advisor? It is, of course, a registered investment advisor. We are required to put our clients' interest first above all else. And so now you have the answers for last week's questions also. And have you ever considered owning a McDonald's franchise? Well, it can be a lucrative business, but it requires a lot of cash. The average McDonald's restaurant generates $2.5 million in sales annually, making it the second highest grossing chain in the U.S. by sales per unit behind Chick-fil-A. But to open a single restaurant, the company requires that the potential franchisees have liquid assets of at least $750,000. Startup costs, which includes construction and equipment expenses, average between $955,000 and $2.3 million, according to McDonald's. The total is determined by the geography and size of the restaurant, as well as the selection of kitchen equipment, signage, style of decor, landscaping, and that is what is required. Franchisees must pay 40% of the startup cost with cash and other non-borrowed resources, while the rest can be financed. In addition to these costs, McDonald's charges a $45,000 franchise fee and an ongoing monthly service fee equal to 4% of gross sales. Franchisees must also pay rent to the company, which is a percentage of the monthly sales. Franchisees have historically paid about 8.5% of sales in rent costs, though some pay as much as 12%. McDonald's franchise startup costs are similar to those of KFC, Wendy's, and Taco Bell. Subway, by comparison, is far less expensive, costing roughly between $116,000 and $262,000, according to the company. Subway also requires only a minimum liquid amount of assets of between $30,000 to $90,000. So, now you know if you wanted to own a McDonald's, it isn't cheap. Well, another show has come to an end. It has been a great pleasure to share the past hour with you. We always welcome the opportunity, Capital Financial Group, to work with you as your personal financial advisor. Let us help you to eliminate the worry that comes with retirement planning, retirement management of your portfolio, and help in distribution of assets. If you need help with your financial plans or rollover of a 401k or 403b, give us a call. We can help with that transition, and we specialize in those areas of helping those that are retired or near retirement. Give us a call. Our number is 330-668-6991. That's 330-668-6991. Thanks so much for having us in today. We'll see you next Saturday at 7 right here on Money Talks. Have a great week.